is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Everything old is new again, at least in the world of episodic TV. Sex and the City, Saved by the Bell, Battlestar Galactica, they're among the many series that have found new life as a reboot. But is this a good deal for us, the viewers? Yeah, these series provide comfort and nostalgia, but what about all those stories out there that could be told that have never been told? Reboots, yay or nay? And of the ones out there, which ones are worth watching? Alan Sepinwall is chief TV critic for Rolling Stone and friend of the show, joins us now. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Allison. Thanks for having me back.
Love talking to you. Hey, listeners, we'd like to hear from you. What are some of your favorite reboots and revivals? Do you have recommendations? Give us a call. 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. So, Alan, help me out with this. How do you differentiate between a reboot and a revival?
Reboot is where you take the original premise of the show or even just the name of the show and you start over from scratch with new actors, new people, all of that. It can be the same characters, but it's new people playing them. Revival is you bring it back and at least some of the original people are still there. So, for instance, when Twin Peaks came back a few years ago on Showtime, that was a revival because Kyle MacLachlan was there and a bunch of other people. When Battlestar Galactica was revived the first time, and I guess now they're going to do it again, that's a reboot because it's all new cast and creative team.
Okay. So when did we start seeing all of these reboots and revivals being used?
We've always had them to a degree. I remember growing up, like, people would always be excited if they would do, like, these reunion TV movies, you know, Andy yes. Returns to Mayberry, that kind of thing. But it's really ramped up in, I would say, the last 5-6 years, in part because there's just, as I've talked about before on this show, there's so much TV out there, and it's so hard to make people aware of anything, that if you have a brand name, and even better, if you have the original cast, even some of them, like, that cuts through the clutter and that will get people's attention and bring them in to watch these shows in a way that it's harder to sell a totally new concept.
In your experience as a television critic, what does a reboot need to have to be successful as a piece of work or as a piece of, you know, art? Don't laugh at me for saying that, but...
Television can be art. Yeah, I would be the last person to ever laugh at you with that. And Battlestar Galactica is, I think, one of the great television shows ever made. I've written about it in several different books I've done. So it can be done. It's really hard. I think for the most part, reboots don't work. Revivals are problematic as well. I think what you need to have with a reboot especially is you need to have something that originally was maybe had a good idea but was not great in and of itself. And you're going to take that kernel and you're going to make something new and better out of it. So that's what BSG did. For instance, if you remember the original show at all, it was mainly a ripoff of Star Wars, but they had this idea of, like, humanity is largely wiped out. They're on the run. They're trying to find a new home. And the new show took that and they turned it into a 9/11 allegory, which who would have thought that you could do that and make it work? And they did. And so it was thoughtful and deep in a way that the original never aspired to. Most of the time, though, you get people just remaking things that were great to begin with. And that's always a problem, whether it's in TV or in the movies.
The calls are starting to come in. Let's go to Fabio calling in from Long Island. Hi, Fabio. Thanks for calling All of It.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So what are you recommending for us in terms of in terms of reboots?
So I would recommend David Lynch's Twin Peaks, The Return. I think it's an excellent show that sort of turns the original on its head, because when everyone watched the original Twin Peaks, they loved, you know, the folksy nature of it and the little oddities. And that was completely not what we got in the reboot. Turned it on its head, challenged the viewer in so many different ways.
Fabio, thanks for calling in. Let's go to Judy in Long Island calling in. Hi, Judy. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, thank you. I generally don't like reboots. I usually think, you know, the original Poldark was still the best. But they've surprised me with All Creatures Great and Small on PBS right now. It's wonderful.
What makes it wonderful for you?
Well, first of all, the scenery. especially when you're trapped in your house, it's wonderful to see these great expanses in, you know, wonderful HD color. But they were unironic about it. They still have, you know, cows that can't deliver, and it doesn't feel trapped by being a reboot.
Thanks for calling in, Judy. Felicia is calling from Queens on line 4. Hi, Felicia. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hey, you know, I'm looking forward to Coming to America Part 2. I'm looking forward to Eddie Murphy. I'm looking forward to James Earl Jones. And just seeing, first of all, when they filmed the original, it was filmed on Queens Boulevard. I was like, oh, my God, I'm from Queens. Then the best part is, only one that's missing is Matt Sinclair, who played the mother. But the rest of them, they have the regular cast. And I'm just so proud of Eddie Murphy, of how he's held his life down when a lot of people spiraled out of control.
Co-sign on Coming to America Part 2. Thanks, Felicia, for calling in. Listeners, we want to hear from you. What are some of your favorite revivals or reboots? What are you recommending? 646-435-7280. My ride-along today is Alan Sepinwall, chief TV critic for Rolling Stone. I'm going to read a tweet for you, too, Alan, and we can have this conversation. The tweet says, I'm on the fence about the Sex and the City reboot, but I will watch it since it's about women of a certain age. I'm the same age group and would like to see how they handle the challenges of middle age and menopause. Okay, so this is how this whole segment developed, because we had in one of our pitch meetings a 15-minute conversation about the Sex and the City revival on HBO Max. The chapter is going to be called And Just Like That, and it's going to have Sarah Jessica Parker, Cynthia Nixon, Kristen Davis, Kim Cattrall, who played Samantha Jones, not returning. What are your thoughts?
I liked Sex and the City quite a lot. The television show. Then they made those movies, and I feel like that took away a lot of the goodwill for the show. Now they're returning, and they're returning without all four of them. In general, I'm even more agnostic on revivals than I think I am on reboots, because I think like great art and great television shows are the product of a specific time in the lives of the characters on the show, of the people making the show, and of the audience. And if you change any or all of those things, you're usually asking for trouble. So, like, I always point to, for instance, when Gilmore Girls came back a few years ago for a Netflix miniseries. Suddenly Rory Gilmore acting the same way at 32 that she did when she was 16, that's not okay. Hmm. You know, it's suddenly the exact same stuff did not play well, and it sort of retroactively made people dislike that character they used to love. And if Just Like That is going to confront head on the fact that these characters are older, in a different position in their lives, all three of them, or at least two of them, have kids. I forget what happened with Carrie. I don't think she does, but they're older, they're not the women that we were watching on HBO in the late 90s and early 2000s. Maybe it can be interesting. If they're just trying to tell the same kind of stories with the three of them minus Samantha, I just don't see the point of it.
Interesting. We can talk about the Conners, though. It was a spin-off, a revival spin-off of Roseanne, which has been very successful even after Roseanne Barr left the show. It was renewed for a third season last May. That's a major character, much like the Samantha Jones character, pulled out of this. Why do you think the Conners succeeded?
Because I think in that case, the way that the times have changed worked in favor of the show. Mm. It's much harder to be blue collar in America now than it was during the original run of Roseanne. And so that was a show that was always about just sort of the challenges of a particular segment of life in middle America for this extended family, not just Roseanne. And so the context works even better for it now than it did then. And when the show came back initially and it was still called Roseanne, you could tell that Roseanne Barr herself was really not that engaged with it. It seemed like a paycheck job to her. Mm. She was not into it, whereas, you know, John Goodman and Sarah Gilbert and everybody else were really giving it their all and kind of carrying her. And then when Roseanne Barr sent out those racist tweets and got justifiably fired, it freed the show a little bit, because it didn't have to work around whatever limitations she had created for herself this time out. So I think the Conners episodes have been even stronger than that one season they did under the original title.
And they've tackled some pretty serious issues on that show as well.
Yeah, they've did. Obviously, the opioid crisis was a big one, and that's ultimately what they used to write the character out of the show. Just the general challenges of the modern economy, and, you know, cost of health care. It was always a topical show. It feels even more so now.
Let's go to Mike from the Bronx. Mike, you have thoughts on Sex and the City.
I do. I'm skeptical. I when I saw that they were doing a revival, they're bringing it back, you know, I thought, you know, who does anybody need it? You know, I mean, they wrapped up the show originally. I thought it was kind of nice. The actual series finale about, you know, the most important relationship is with yourself and all that. They obviously did the two movies. And having rewatched some of the episodes here and there over the years, you know, I have felt like it has not aged particularly well. I mean, I think that in this day and age, a woman would never, I mean, the way that Carrie let Big treat her over the years would never fly on television these days. Mm. And rightfully so, might I add. You know, that was wrong. I mean, the first season, the first scene of the first movie is he leaves her at the altar. I mean, what's going on here? And then no Samantha. Samantha was very compelling. And then there's obvious sort of plausibility questions of, like, how does Carrie afford her lifestyle with her job? And she's living on the Upper East Side. She would never live on the Upper East Side in real life. So it's just, I feel like it's a show that it was good at the time, but maybe hasn't aged that well anyway. And it feels redundant. And I think as a culture, generally, I think we should be able to leave things. Sometimes something is just beautiful for what it was. Mm-hmm. I'm a Sopranos guy, like Alan Sepinwall. I love The Sopranos. Obviously, a reboot's out of the question, but let's appreciate it for what it was. It's a beautiful show. It's come back. I'm also a Golden Girls guy. Obviously, that's all out of the question, too. But sometimes something is beautiful and wonderful, and that's what it was. And I don't know why we have to wring every last cent out of everything. Of course, you can, but just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I think that's a cultural value we need in this country.
I like your passion. Let's go to Joseph from Greenwich, Connecticut, who was pulled over to tell us about a reboot he likes. Hi, Joseph. Thanks for pulling over.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sitting here. I've been trying to tell everybody about this. I don't know if I can follow with the passion that Mike just did, but I love the new DuckTales. I'm a grown man. I got kids, which is good because that gives me an excuse to watch it. But the old DuckTales was like my favorite show growing up. Love that show. They did the reboot now, and it's amazing. I didn't know they could improve on a show that was that good the first time around. Of course, my kids won't watch the old one because the cartooniness of it. You know that, you know, the new effects they have on the cartoons. I still think it holds up. They got Lin-Manuel Miranda playing Gizmo Duck, and man, I cannot be happier with what they did with that. And it's sad but beautiful at the same time, how much I love it.
So. Thanks for calling in. Talking about things from our childhood, I wanted to ask you, Alan, about the Snoopy show. Apple TV Plus recently launched this, which is the description boasts new adventures for Snoopy for multi-generational viewing. What do you think about reviving a show like Snoopy with, you know, he's a beloved character? Is it a safe bet for a newish streaming platform?
I mean, I think that's certainly what you're seeing a lot of on all these streaming platforms. It's why Disney Plus is now going to have a half a dozen different Star Wars shows, why they're trying to do so many Marvel shows, is now that, like, everyone has their own streamer, the only way to get anybody's attention and to get their subscription dollars is with name brand IP, unfortunately. And so sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Charlie Brown has been done so often over the years on television in so many iterations, even after, you know, Charles Schulz passed away, that it certainly can be done well. I have not seen the new Snoopy yet, so I can't speak to that. But, you know, other times it doesn't work. Hulu brought back Animaniacs recently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of 90s revivals, my kids also love the new DuckTales. That's great. And they loved the original Animaniacs. They and I have been pretty lukewarm on the new Hulu version of that. It's just... it's hard. If something is perfect to begin with, and then you bring it back and you start tweaking, you run into trouble.
My guest is Alan Sepinwall, chief TV critic for Rolling Stone. We've been talking about reboots and revivals. Let's go to Maria online to Maria, your choice.
Yes.
It's my choice. It's my producer's choice as well.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yes. So I'm not a huge fan generally of reboots, but I have to say One Day at a Time, and I remember watching the original growing up, but when I saw the new One Day at a Time, it was just love at first sight. It was great. I watched it with my kids. It was really like a show where I felt like I saw my family on TV, being a child of immigrant parents from Latin America, and I thought that they did such a wonderful job, and it was just such a shame that Netflix really didn't support it, and that they had to move. But I'm glad that they were able to find a new home.
Thanks for calling in. That's a really good example, I think, of a reboot that worked, Alan.
It's a great one because they took, again, they took the basic idea of what was already a pretty good sitcom before, and it's just a single mom struggling to get with her day, but they, like, added new elements to it. They made it a Cuban-American family. They made the mother an Army veteran dealing with various issues, you know, PTSD from having been in combat. They did a whole lot of different smart things while still making it topical, and they cast it great. I love that show. I was glad it survived for an extra season on Pop. It's now been canceled the second time. But that's one of the best shows I've seen in the last few years.
My guest has been Rolling Stone chief TV critic Alan Sepinwall. Alan, as always, thanks so much.
Anytime.